Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 26th of July, 2020. And as far as we know, we're all still here, or most of us anyway, are still here, right? Because we're living through incredible times of the culmination of lots of planning over many, many, many years, going way back, in fact, into the 20th century, and even actually a bit further back than that. Everything is happening today pretty well. Was been discussed for many, many years by those who bother to take the time to crack open the old books and read all the boring stuff, because that's what it's based on, you see. Awfully boring stuff. Eh? ABS. And you find that everything's presented to you in this fake reality of ours. And by fake, I mean it's all presented to you. Even your conclusions are given to you so slickly. And it's not new at all. It's been done for an awful long time again. And it's quite simple. Bernays was involved in how to bring people into consensus, for instance, how to manipulate consensus and create consensus amongst the public, and consensus of opinions, desired opinions by those who basically rule. And Bernays wasn't dedicated to any particular country. He would sell his ideas to any country, and every country, including the communists too, in the Soviet Union, bloc countries and so on. But he also worked with a lot of administrations in the US government and with different presidents coming and going. And he also had his own private, massive group, you might call them a massive group of propagandists or media manipulators and public relations companies. And he went so far, in fact, as to get the US Army to go and rescue his client, one of his biggest clients, it was the American Fruit Company. He got him to go down into Latin America and overturn the elected government there, because they're going to jack. They might even have socialized the company, you see. And this American Fruit Corporation was a massive company, and they wanted to keep the workers' wages down. So he used the American military to go down there and claim they were communists and got them to overthrow them. And then, but that's how it goes, isn't it? People get caught up in names and terms, and they don't realize that often you have the same characters running both sides of everything. That generally is what really happens. As I've said before, you've got to have at least two sides fighting it out, physically or verbally and politically, in order to get change. And the whole idea of Marxism, of course, is planned change. That's a Trotskyist attitude to the whole idea of reality, is planned, organized, and directed change that's created by strife. You create the strife to upset the apple cart of whatever stage system there is, and you get the other side coming back, of course, try and defend it, and out of it you get compromise. That's your whole thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So once you get the synthesis, that's the next step to take over and change to the next step again. So it's really what they call social evolution, being fast-tracked. In other words, what they think they could have gone to in the world in 100 years, they can do maybe in 30 years, even sooner if they can get a revolution going. And it's a whole bunch of ideas, a whole system, a whole way of living, of course, to be implemented once they've succeeded. And you always find, I've always been astonished when you find the same richest folk on the planet surviving through all of it, you know. Because true communism, as we've seen it, that we're given as true communism, never really demolished big corporations. In fact, in Russia, the whole idea, it was very quickly, in fact, the lawyers. A lot of lawyers actually took over the country, and they were claiming they were communists. But the whole idea of not making money off labor, people's labor, was very quickly demolished. You live in a twilight zone, really. They'll say, no, it's still there. And so they simply reword big private banks that they set up. They weren't making money off labor, you understand, because it was reworded how they got their money. And that's what lawyers are awfully good for, is rewording things to get round things and getting what they want, you see. And we found that out at the end of the so-called Soviet Empire, when it went down on cue. It didn't just fall apart. It's just like a monetary crisis. entities system. There's no, the only crisis you have is a money reset like you had in 2007 and 8, really, and bankruptcies that were all planned to be taken over by the winners, you see. And the winners are always the ones that plan it. That's how it works. Well, same with communism. They didn't have to collapse back then. It was they all got their orders from the different provinces and areas and regions of the Soviet Empire and the Soviet bloc countries to stand down pretty well. And then many of the leaders that became communists became social democrats and a bunch of other names for the same thing, really. And so it goes on that way, you see. But the ones that they really serve, the richest folk on the planet, who own corporations across the world, and they own everything you need. I mean, all resources, that's the key to it. Then they still run the show. And, of course, no one attacks their headquarters. In fact, you find, as I say, this Antifa, which is definitely a communist organ, or a communistic anti-fascist organization, which is an old organization, of course, but repainted for the present times. And they're still financed by the biggest corporations on the planet. And the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, as we know, have come out openly saying that they're trained Marxists, trained in organizing, and trained a whole bunch of dialectical techniques. And of course, dialectics is meant to throw off the scent of what they're really doing, and to really convince a lot of people who sit in the sidelines, thinking it's all quite above board and quite natural and decent, all the rest of it. Everything is perception management. Again, back to Bernays, that's what he was into, perception management. Very old techniques. And his techniques are still used today, and even improved upon with the behaviorists working for countless governments down through time, and adding to it all the different techniques that they have of manipulating the minds of the public. So I think it's perception management. And there's never been a better display, isn't there? I mean, I don't get involved in the politics because I think it's all managed anyway. I think the whole thing is managed. And we're seeing right now with the WEF, the World Economic Forum, the great global reset. It's time to reset again, not just the monetary value, which is devaluating, devaluation of the currencies. You need a lot more of the same currency to buy the basic foodstuff shortly. That's what they mean by global reset, bringing into austerity, the planned austerity. And of course, they're also using and financing the BLM movements. And they're also the big CEOs of these corporations, and they're also funding Black Lives Matter. I put some articles up where they boast about them all. They're all on board with it, all funding it. So they're funding the demise of their own system, because it's time to move on into their new system. You see, it's still them who run it all. And as this has been discussed for years by them with the futurist societies, which they own, working in tandem with the real psychopathic teams, get paid big money, behaviorists and psychologists at the top, and those who work in intelligence agencies for departments of defense and so on. They come out with all these different articles over many, many years telling you what they'd like to do and how they could do it and pull it off, etc. And don't forget, everything that comes out of the Department of Defense or your governments for a long time now has been pure propaganda, public relations. Public relations goes back again to Bernays, when he called it initially propaganda. And they got a bad rap, the whole idea of propaganda, so they changed it into public relations. And every official organization that's out there, from police, military, intelligence agencies, whatever, has specially trained people who are propagandists or public relations experts. They know how to walk around direct questions that are asked to them, and how to leave the people scratching their heads until they catch on that this has been had. And by that time they've gone, you see. But that's what they do. They just walk around the different questions that are being asked. And we're getting lots of it today, that is for sure, aren't we? We're seeing a massive campaign by the big corporations and their own media that are promoting all the no, it's not protests. Most of the protests you're seeing now really aren't protests. They're just riots. They're planned riots. I'd one in Montreal a few weeks ago, I think it was. And I just the other day managed to see a little tiny clip. I get bad speed because we're hammered here where I am with speed. We get hammered until things just crawl, even timed out. Gets timed out just pulling up a newspaper article sometimes. And I'm getting hammered, maybe special. I don't know. I don't want to be paranoid, but that's the sort of thing that's happening right now. But I just saw this article, and I was reading the COVID articles at the time. Again, all the different, countless rubbishy articles that are getting churned out by some machine, I think. You just crank it out. And I don't think the COVID's missed a single sign and symptom of any disease out there. They've got everything in there. And I've mentioned it before, and Fauci adds to it as well sometimes, just to get his face in the papers. He likes the limelight, doesn't he? But they've got everything in it too. You might be asymptomatic completely, but you'll have it. Maybe that's a symptom that you have there, you see. And you might feel fine, and that's definitely a symptom, you've got it. You might feel bad. It doesn't matter what you feel bad with, you've definitely got it. And if you've got runny nose, you got it. If you've got dry nose, you got it. If your sinuses are plugged, you got it. If your sinuses are exuding fluid, you've got it. Right? If you've got a sore throat, you've got it. If you've not got a sore throat, you've got it. Right? If you've got a rash, you've got it. And if you've not got a rash, you've got it. And he added to it, in the middle of the hay fever season, eh? That again, the whole idea with runny noses or blocked noses, and definitely, you know, hay fever is seeing that. Well, that's definitely a symptom of it. Everything's getting put down to COVID. But I was reading that one of these articles, and then next to it was the big so-called they call it protest in Montreal, where they went down the street looting the stores. That's quite good. It's astonishing to actually live in this twilight zone. And I've mentioned this for years and years, this idea of gaslighting, the old movie, where they try to convince you that you're not to see what you're seeing. They'll tell you what you're supposed to be seeing. Right? And so you're in this kind of strange la-la land where you're trying to hold on to sanity as you're getting told that this is just protest that you're seeing. But I just realized, after reading the article on COVID, you saw a bunch of these guys smashing a big music store in Montreal. And they all ran out with guitars and instruments. And I realized that's a symptom, obviously, of COVID, eh? To add to all the other symptoms. You just suddenly get this urge. You've got to get a musical instrument for free, preferably. And it's definitely COVID, eh? Has to be. What else could it be? Because we're having peaceful protests, it must be COVID. But we're truly living in a twilight zone. And it's all managed. Our minds are always managed. I can remember, too, a few years back, reading an article. It was on radio at the time. It was about a voice-to-skull technique that advertisers hoped to use. They were demonstrating it and trying it out in New York City. And it showed you people walking past a particular store. And they also showed you this little funnel-type projectile gun thing. They could acoustic cannon, I guess they called it. It was a very small thing. It wasn't like the big things the military can use. And it could literally put into your head, aim at you, and follow you, locked in on you, because it's all computerized, as you're walking past, and they can lock into you, and you'd hear in your skull, go into this store here and get so-and-so. And it'd be very audible to you, just like schizophrenics often say they hear voices and things. You'd hear it all right, and it'd be very clear, and they showed you really what you'd be hearing from a tape or a recording of some kind, and that's what you would, and of course you saw these folk stopping where they were and looking around, like, and looking up and down, and they couldn't figure out where this was coming from. It was aimed at, and no one around them would hear it, you see, just you. So when you see the protesters just going berserk and smashing in all the guitar stores and music stores and grabbing the best instruments, it's because they got COVID. That's what happens to them, you see. And that'll be down shortly as a symptom. What else could it be? Obviously, right? I mean, it could not possibly be communists. They were wanting communism by stealing the goods of capitalism because they want them so badly. It couldn't be that, could it? No. But this is what we're living through, isn't it? Tremendous times of change. And it's a planned change. I did the talks years ago on the coming changes that were all planned. And this is the century for it. The 21st century is the century for change. That was labeled in universities by the professors as they taught them Marxism and collectivism and so on. and austerity, you know, the recycled old myths of communism all back in full force, and the sense of transition, everything was a transition, including people in some ways too. But this is that's just all change, you see. This was about planned change. And it's been on the books for an awful long time. And you had the same terminology put out by those who taught Marxism in all of its different front groups, you know, because that's where Marxism runs, is through different front groups and to cover its real tracks. And also, it was being promoted by the climate change groups at the top. The ones at the bottom are the ones who follow and believe what they're told. Some of them, the leaders not, I've said this before, the leaders of Antifa, the real leaders, I know what they're about. And the same with Black Lives Matter, the ones at the top have come out publicly saying that they're basically communist and, or Marxist, if you want to use that term. And those who fund them, way above them, the real bosses, way, way above them, as a company's CEOs of big corporations, they know what it's all about and where it's supposed to. This is the big change. This is the big reset, as they say. But this is a time for a change. And the excuses of saving the world and saving the climate and all the rest of it, it's all to do with population reduction. I hope you're getting the message. It's about population reduction. Young folk will go along with it and do all the rioting, not reasoning. Their time, they're realizing their time will come when they're on the list for removal as well. It's not just old folks, you see, are getting written off with COVID and so on. Eventually, there'll be other excuses, other reasons. And they've already come out at the last climate change last year, talking about the need for population reduction. That would reduce the climate problem, as they said at the last big meeting. And you find it in their articles. So you're living through it, and it's frightening for a lot of people because they don't understand it. They watch the mainstream media that still shows you incredible talking heads telling you that, well, it's just this or it's just that. They don't tell you any truth, of course. But the fact is, this is way beyond their little protest. A protest is something where you hand out literature and get folk to sign things, and that's protesting. When you smash doors and windows and stores and loot them, that's not protest. No, that's called looting and rioting. So we're living through amazing times, as they keep telling you not to believe what you're seeing, but to believe the fake version of it. Isn't that astonishing, right? As in real time, you're getting told this. It's just amazing. And you go, so these talking heads are quite happy to tell you lots of lies. They always have done before. Are quite happy now. They're getting a lot of attention. And everyone's tuning in because of the COVID ID and the protests to see what's happening. And they're quite happy to lie to everybody, of course. And the standard communist technique was always the same. I've got books from published in New York, because that was the main center for publishing all the Marxist books all through the 20th century, from the earliest times. And they said that was a standard technique, is to start to cause first protest and then going into riots, you see. You always have the two factions. You have the faction which this spouts off the reasons for protesting, as I say. Then the other active faction, which is the physical action party, you see, who does all the physical work. You saw it in the States 2 years ago by some group. Now it's got all the power to tell you a different story, but the one in the States had two factions, obviously, and even blew up government buildings. Now they're respectable, and some of them even own the media. That's quite amazing to watch it. Quite amazing to watch all this, actually, happening over and over again. And folk, it only takes 20 years or 25 years for people to forget the signs and symptoms and what's happened in the past. You see? It doesn't take long to get it. That's how they, as I say, they're generally, even the Western countries, traditionally, in a big, big war, like World War One. They've given about almost 20 years, about 20 years or so, from the end of a real heavy, heavy slaughter war, to raise another crop of young folk who wouldn't have a clue, really, about the reality of the last war. And they'd be ready for the next one, you see, for the slaughter. And so they always gave it about a 20-year span. That's what they do. And it's quite interesting, because when 9/11 happened, I thought, I even gave a talk about it. I says, you know, I says, with the sudden, which wasn't sudden at all these restrictions on free speech and free this and free that, and reducing all your rights and freedoms, not just in the US, but across the world at the same time. Well, that was planned long before 9/11 happened, obviously. And they're going through screening at airports and so on, and being x-rayed, for goodness sake. And I even did talks on the companies that were given in advance the rights to sell all the x-ray machines that you'd be walking through airports and so on. I won't go into that again, because it gets me annoyed even thinking about it, of who the companies actually were. But it was all planned in advance. That's how things really work, including what's happening now, all planned in advance, like the last crash as well, 2007, 2008, planned in advance. That comes from top bankers in Switzerland. They said the same thing. They didn't need to do it then, but they did. It was a political decision. It wasn't a necessary decision. It was a political one. And politicians, as you know, they do what they're told by higher authorities. So that's the real world in which we live, but we're in a century for change, or of change, and this is the century of change. Has a whole manifesto to accomplish, of course, including population reduction, licensing of folk who will be permitted to have children, and folk who will not. That came out as well, not just at the last climate meeting, but at previous ones as well. And mandatory sterilization will come in. There'll be a lot of, it won't be just said, oh, it's mandatory. You know, it's little perks. If you sacrifice your right to have children, you see, it's your choice. You see, they always give you a choice. Then you can get extra credit points on your income, your universal basic income that everybody's going to be put on. You know, and yeah, little perks and things like that. And you also get the goody-goody two-shoes that who always rush into and say, I'll do me first, and they get the names in the paper and they're quite happy. And unfortunately, a lot of them are young folk, you know. We already saw it come out at previous climate change meetings, where they'd bring forth young women who were very young. I mean, they were still in their teens, and some of them still in high school, and as in newspapers, saying they'd like to volunteer for sterilization to save the world. Now, this is what happens, you know. And as I've always said, nothing happens by itself. It takes years and years of planning and gradual incremental implementation of the propaganda and the techniques to bring conformity and uniformity of opinion and so on. And then you see it manifest, and it's always presented to the public as suddenly spontaneous. It's a spontaneous thing, you know. Just like the COVID was all spontaneous, then you find out, no, the Rockefellers had talked about 2010, and of course I put up the PDF before, so go to cuttingthroughmeetings.com, and you can find them for the Rockefeller Foundation, talking about other things that would come with technology, jumping in on it and so on, and all the apps that would get unrolled for tracking and tracing, for your own good, tracking and tracing and all that, in 2010. And then, of course, Event 201, and as published as well. It's really amazing, again, isn't it, to watch counterintelligence, you know, counterintelligence go into action. Yeah. And immediately brand everybody who mentions the published articles by the Johns Hopkins group, university group, Event 201, in collusion with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they even put out their videos, we hear them talking about and all that. But if you mention that now, you're put down as a conspiracy theorist. You're one of those QAnons, you're conspiracy theorist talking about that. But you're talking about the fact, but the facts don't matter anymore. The fact that you mention it means you're crazy, you see. It's okay for Bill Gates to talk about and reference, he's not crazy. So there's your difference. And this is, again, this tremendous technique of obscuring your logical processes in your mind. And some folk cave in. They can't. The average person who doesn't follow these things and only gets it from the mainstream news still gets confused, because they're hearing conflicting stories even from the mainstream media. And that's intentional. It throws you off into twilight zone, as I said, where you you think, yeah, I'll just think about this and I'll think about the other side and I'll come to my own conclusion. But within a week, they've already worked out, you see, to where you have to go next. And that's where you don't realize it's all to where you go next. And they take you to it to give you a uniform opinion, and you adopt that opinion, you think it's your own. People fight today. They've been fighting for years over opinions that were given to them, but they've never really investigated them for themselves. I've mentioned before how often, sometimes quickly, and sometimes weeks or months later, I get the same articles I put out a long time ago coming back to me. And it happens all the time. And it is interesting, especially when they're quick, because you know they've got it from your site and so on. And what's interesting to me is that maybe a third party has got a hold of it from someone else who's reposted it, and they don't know it's me, and they'll send it back to me, you see. And it gives me an idea how fast things really move. But it also shows that people often don't look at the primary source for themselves and to find out where it really came from. And this is going somewhere, by the way, when we talk about, because it's to do with our reality again, and how reality is given to us, and how the agencies that manage your reality and your opinions, when it's not working properly for those who deem them to be necessary, the particular opinions they're wanting to give you, they bring in real intelligence agencies, like the 77 Brigade. I mentioned that in Britain. Oh, months ago, back in April, I think it was, and I still get articles coming back to me, folks sending it to me, saying, you can look at this, well, it's me, put them up. And they don't realize that they're sending it back to the person who put them up in the first place. I give talks about them, you see. And it's a group in Britain, it belongs to the Department of Defense, a psychological warfare group, and their job is to go around and scour the internet and prey on people, actually, that are nuisances, people who may know things or who are getting too close to hot topics or whatever it happens to be, and to throw them off the track or defame them. There's a whole bunch of dirty tricks to use, and that's what intelligence agencies do. There's lots of dirty tricks. And this is a battle for information in the information age, naturally. Back in the 90s, they talked about the coming internet age, basically a war on information and off information, and who might win it. And I can remember even reading articles at the time where Hillary Clinton talked about it with other people, and she talked about this coming war of information, how it would have to be handled, etc., and didn't want to outright ban things, but there had to be other ways to sort of limit information. Of course, you see where it all went today, where if you say anything that's close to any topic at all, you're completely banned immediately. But apart from that, you also get hammered by PSYOP organizations, thousands of them. And the brigade in England works for the military. I might touch on a bit later on, the actual original article, where they come out and boast about what they're up to, some of what they're up to. And they boast about having thousands of people working for them, and thousands more to draw from, like part-timers, basically, to tackle big issues, like bombarding the internet and targeted individuals, basically, targeting them with either defamatory information or wrong information. And then they have, a different department that dreams up the ideas. You understand how intelligence agencies during the Cold War really worked. There's been some good movies put out from good novels and so on, some of them written by people who were in intelligence agencies, sometimes a bit far-fetched or dramatic just for the movie version or the novel version, because most intelligence work is boring stuff, very boring. Like Bezmenov said, it's nothing to do really with the James Bond stuff. It's mainly to do with destroying the culture of your opponent, and psychological warfare, and altering the culture. You take down, some call it Gramsci, methods of infiltrating and destroying and changing the culture. Well, that was done successfully in the West, completely done. Look around you. And look where you are right now, in this particular time. This is the outcome of that technique being used for a long, long time in the US and Britain and elsewhere. But I don't get off the topic completely, but the fact is the intelligence agencies often showed you some of the techniques that they used. And one of them came to mind as well. It was called Russia House. It was they talk about the characters who manage the Cold War, both sides, all sides, in fact, and how it's very profitable, and it certainly is for those who run it all, but how they also put out counterintelligence to their opponents and for the people within their own countries, you see. And must remember that most of the intelligence and propaganda is aimed at your own population, actually. And it was so-called forbidden for a while, but it happened anyway. And the U.S. came out eventually under Obama and said that it's okay for now to use propaganda on their own citizens in the U.S. That's a fact. I had the article here from years ago. But Britain and other countries had always been doing that. And because you must get your people behind you, you see. This is the same as a war. If you haven't a war, the first casualty of war is truth, you see. So you must get the people behind you, just like the PNAC group used the term, the phrase that for the list that had drawn up that they wanted to attack and take over by using the US military, to get the people on board behind them, the domestic population behind them, they said they would need a Pearl Harbor event. That's not make-believe, that's fact, it's out there and so on. And you had 9/11 pop up, so that's what you must do. So again, truth is always the first casualty of war. And once it's all going, truth doesn't matter anymore, because that's out the window. Once you've got troops in somewhere, it doesn't matter if it's uncovered as being false, the reasons for being there in the first place. You've got to get them in there first, get involved, get the huge machinery of war on the go and on site, and away you go. And most of the public then just sit back and let it happen. They've not much sane input in the first place, is it? But that's how it works. But they come up with amazing ideas to confuse populations both domestically and worldwide. And often, too, it's the mystique of things. They give big diversions, which are interesting, too, but they're also tests upon populations. They'll put out something, a false narrative, and watch how fast it travels around the world. I read an article a few years ago as well from MIT, where a professor there stated that he was teaching his class on how to put out fake information on history. And then, because they were given access to the chit-chat on the internet and on electronic media by the government, everything's farmed out, all your private stuff is farmed out, and they said that then they could follow all the chit-chat to see who was rebroadcasting the chit-chat with the false history in it, to see how fast. Well, why do you think they were doing that, eh? It's because right now a lot of it's being used, of false information put out by intelligence agents, and it's been awfully successful. And the testing by MIT and others is exactly that. It's testing to see how well it can be done. And also, how they can set up groups. They seem to sprout out of nowhere when folk jump on a really incredulous idea. And it doesn't matter about the validity of the idea. It's the idea itself to get in conflict with other people. It's, don't be crazy, that could never be the case. No, it doesn't matter if it's flat earth or what it is. As long as you get something out there that gets people yelling at each other and almost ready to fight each other. It's quite... You must understand the power that behaviorists and psychologists and have over the general public. The last people who understand to be manipulated are the victims of manipulation. And when emotion takes over, you've lost it. And they've won, you see. Always, it's always the same thing. These techniques were also used by the communists in the Soviet era, as well as Bezmenov said, Yuri Bezmenov. And it doesn't matter about the truth keep being said by, spoken about by guys like Bezmenov and others before him. The fact is, as he said, the ones who are totally convinced of the utopia of Sovietism and communism, you call it what you want, it's all the same system, Marxism, the wonderful utopia that never seems to materialize, they said that you could take them up to the prison camps, the gulags, and they still wouldn't believe it. That's how bad it is with indoctrination. People want to believe so badly. So incredibly, in fact, if they've been at it for years, that it becomes their whole reality. It's a religion for them, a real religion for them, fanatical. And they'll just crack up on the spot or go berserk if they're actually forced to see what's really happening. And that's how it is. But the thing is, he said that he was in his 1970s, that the communists of the Soviet bloc countries were so astonished to see how well their assault, total assault on the culture and value system of the West had been. I used to give talks on what your culture comprises of, but even as the more surface kind of things like your, never mind your language, that gets changed as well, by the way, and so does your, even your dress mode, what's in trend today for the youngsters especially, or the and every age group is catered to, of course, like uniforms. And people never figure it out. The battle between communism is not a communism against really capitalism, because capitalism never dies off. It really takes over the system. And they benefit more off it. I mean, the Soviet Union was up to his eyes in a hawk to foreign banks and different things. That you'd be surprised. Yeah. And again, it's wonderful for those who own these big corporations in the Soviet bloc, or anywhere else for that matter, because they could get the governments of other countries under the Economic Development Corporation that were set up by the United Nations. Every country had them, a continuation of the lend-lease programs after World War II, right up to the present time. And your governments would then bail them out, and these blocs. And so the corporations were guaranteed to get bailed out, guaranteed money, not less money, but what they wanted. It works awfully well for them. But the folk at the bottom never figure it out, really. They never do. The few that do might end up in the gulags themselves. But facts don't matter. You see, there's always the same resurgence of the same, by the same folks, actually, of pushing this idea of communism. And right now, as I've said, it doesn't surprise me at all that all the demands that are being put up by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and it's, when you really look at their manifesto, it's communism, basically, pure and simple. But it's exactly what the World Economic Forum, run by the richest folk on the planet, want. For sustainability, depopulation, austerity for the general population, post-consumerist society, yada yada yada, and down to rationing. That's what they're actually helping to fulfil what the elite, the richest folk on the planet want. And these richest folk on the planet, and their big, massive international corporations, own the resources of the world, and they're getting the left wing to do their bidding for them. Isn't that amazing, eh? And the ones at the bottom never figure that out. No, they don't. They just don't figure it out at all. And it's the fastest way to get to where they want for the WEF. They actually said that, and the Club of Rome said it too, that they'll be able to achieve all of their goals for sustainability by using the COVID. But also they're jumping on this idea with... the communist left. Isn't that amazing? It all coincides with this. But it's just coincidence, right? It's just a coincidence. It's one of these solar things that, you know, the stars are all in the right positions and having this flux in space. Eh? That's what it is, isn't it? Well, that's what intelligence agencies would put out for you. Because getting back to what I said, I remember them doing similar things before tests as well. And one of them was after 9/11, just building up to 9/11, in fact. And some people who followed... what they would, or I would call loosely, call the New Age movement, because it's a smorgasbord of all ideas and things, and old and new and so on. And again, that was all getting geared up big time through the 90s, again for a big change in society, peace and understanding, all that kind of stuff, the Aquarian movement, you know. And people that I knew would say to me, because they got it from different sources, I wasn't on the internet at all, and they said, you know, we're going to go through a photon belt, a big photon belt. And I thought, well, photons are what come off the suns anyway. That's light, you see. And Yeah, but it's going to be a really heavy belt that we're going to go through, and some of the talk shows at night, and so we go through these things, and that's how they're promoting this idea of a photo. But the New Age, the old New Age movement that was really run from the top again, there's big institutions running it that actually are actually famed for using psychological warfare and incredible testing on the general population. They have no idea of it. This is well understood. But the idea of the photon belt, you see, was before the flat earth theory came back, was resuscitated, because it's an old idea, the flat earth. Very old, of course, as you know, and then came out in the 19th century again and back into the 20th and 21st. But the photon belt. And they said, you know, because everybody was getting ticked off with this idea of 9/11 that had just happened. And they said, we're going to go through this belt of this photon belt. This is from the top New Age movements. We're using all the different terms and occultic terms and so on, which everybody knew was in all the books. But they said, everybody suddenly across the whole globe, everybody, no exceptions, right, would suddenly, instantaneously know everything. We'd all know everything. No work involved. We'd all be immediately enlightened, and we just know everything. No secrets could be held from us all, because we'd know it all, you see. Not because we did anything, it was because we went through this magic photon belt. It did it all to us magically. So I've watched this kind of thing happen. Knowing darn well, it's obvious to me that literally intelligence agencies write this stuff up, and then see how well it's working on people. And it also helps to diffuse folk from going any further and demanding answers from governments, for instance, like 9/11, etc. Because now you just wait and wait. If you just wait long enough, you see you'll suddenly get enlightened by magic. And these are delaying tactics and diffusing tactics. That's how they're used. So you get all these different theories coming along and building up, and you're studied with all these theories that are put out there, and the chit-chat and all the rest of it. And again, you get the groups like the 77th Brigade involved, officially Department of Defense. Thousands of these characters, literally in lifetime, manipulating your data to you and back. You think they're all real people that are just interested in this. No, these folk literally are countering. They're playing you. You're being played. And the folk can get involved and caught and sucked up and have no idea that that's the thing. I just hate this guy that keeps emailing me. He tells me, these are agents. These are literally the psyop warriors, they call them. And they're counterintelligence agencies, and so all working to manipulate your thoughts, etc. That's how it's done. The whole idea is a big chessboard in intelligence, and they try to, they come up with an idea they want to bring off, they pull off something, you see, against your enemy, in such a way that you'll walk into this, all the different traps you leave, you'll walk into them, you get led there and led here and led there, and without, until the bitter end, you realize he's been had and he's been played. And that's how it's done. And today, there's battalions of these characters employed to screw you up. I mentioned before, I don't go on Twitter and Facebook, you know. Because I know what they are, and you can just tell who really set them up and what set them up behind the front people that set them up. They're essential elements to total control, obviously. Total control. Because they start off as something when you volunteer to put your info up on, then they make it almost mandatory or necessary to use to make an income in this age, this day and age. And that's how they get you all sucked into it. Then you start deciding who will be put off of it or punished for whatever. And it was all planned before you heard the name of Zuckerberg. Believe you me, all planned. As you go back into the 90s, and you had, as I say, Hillary Clinton and other ones talking about what they would do, etc., and have to do. They weren't worried about losing control of the dialogue. Whoever they happen to be, after all, can you figure out who they're really working for? It's not followers. They're not working for the followers. And again, that's the beauty, the macabre beauty of the dark arts, as they call it, you know, of persuasion, manipulation, and using your natural emotions to get what they want from you as they do you in, basically. and put you under, or have you crack up or really commit suicide or appear to commit suicide, that's the technique that's used over and over again. In fact, it was skillfully inserted idea of the techniques, a minuscule amount of it, mind you, in the movie The Good Shepherd. You know, gives you an idea how it kind of works. It also brings into it the idea of how sex is always used, for blackmail eventually. That's involved in the movie too. And how you can get to your real target through their offspring or relatives as well, and threaten blackmail if you don't comply with them, etc. That's of course what the whole Epstein organization was about. Again, and he really is an asset of the big agency above him. Of course, that wasn't just a horny guy there with an insatiable appetite for young girls. But that's the system we truly live in. Your emotions, all your emotions are played against you and used against you. And the psyop warriors, as they say, countless numbers of them can hammer you all the time and soak up your time if you fall into that trap as you try to answer them or stand up for yourself or you hear false accusations at times. Just, wait a minute, this is a psyop thing. Just ignore it. Because that's what you got to do, is ignore these things. They want to suck you in and suck your time away and suck you dry, basically, or have you crack up. I mean, some folk really are very sensitive. And if you fall for whatever they're giving you, you'll be ripped apart. Absolutely ripped apart. You know? And you've got to remember too, the internet is the biggest can of information ever invented, where everybody is stuffed into this big can, and those who own the can and manage the can dissect your entire personality and life history from you. So be careful what you're putting out there too. And don't forget as well, you can be sucked into organizations just chatting away, and they'll try to label you as some kind of terrorist, for instance. It's just astonishing the things that are putting out. The FBI seems to be classifying everybody as a terrorist today, even just the crazier fringe type people as well. And ignoring the ones who are doing anything at all right now, as cities burn and shops are looted, etc. It's interesting, though. As I say, I find it interesting to watch this again. The same techniques that Plato talked about. Understand the techniques of what worked in the past to get certain things done, and if you understand the sequence of implementation, then you can create the societal conditions for the acceptance of each stage of it, implement them in the same order, and they will work. It doesn't matter if it's 1,000 years ago or 2,000 or whatever, it'll always work again. It really is astonishing that. It's kind of sad too. We like to think we're really special, don't we? And that we're always on the cutting edge of understanding and beauty and perfection of knowledge and all that kind of thing. But no, we're pretty well deluded. Very much so deluded. And rather sadly too. And willingly. The best kind of delusion is to be willingly adhere to it, willing to enter into the pact of delusion and get used by, again, intelligence agencies. Always get used. And what I'm saying is just what I've said before, with the guys who are being set up over the years by intelligence agencies in the West, since 9/11 especially, where you would also often read about sting operations where police or FBI or their counterparts in other countries had set up sting operations by putting out people on the net. A lot of young Muslims fell into this too. And really rabid preachers, which seemed to be preachers of Islam, and in would come the followers, young guys who were always picked up so easily. Your psychology is very predictable when you're young. And young guys, oh, that's terrible, we should belong to that and do the right thing and all that. Then they get used, set up, then they're supplied by fake explosives and things, and then in would come the cops and arrest them, or the FBI. And then they admit how they did it. They admit how it was done. Now, these young guys might never have got any further beyond the bitching part. Oh, so you can't say bitching anymore. That's been disallowed, apparently. So they're getting beyond the complaining part and actually falling for it. But they probably never have done it if they had just kept complaining amongst themselves and griping, you know. But that's how things really work. I've noticed for a long time, even before, you know, all the present debacle and troubles, etc. But long before that, from the books I've read, old books, to do with the Bolshevik era and the, just before the Bolshevik era and what was happening and how it was getting set up by infiltrators. And there's, again, there's always this elements of different groups, ethnic groups, wanting to dominate other ethnic groups as well and vice versa, and conflicts of all kinds and religious groups sometimes. But how they set up the conditions to get enough people to follow the initial revolutionaries is very similar to what we're seeing today. The Black Lives Matter idea. I mean, initially you had protesters against crime, against horrible crime, obviously against people, regardless of who they are or what they may or may not have done. You don't treat people that way, as I say. And but that, so you had initial outrage, but it's so quickly hijacked by a group. Two groups, really, that work together and often share the same funding sources that are avowed to wait for this any spike to jump on in the summer. And they did it. See? And then they commandeer it. And then all the followers still keep the chanting going because you must have the sheep. And you got to be honest here. If you follow a group, a big group, you've given away your rights to think for yourselves. If you start shouting slogans, you've given away your right to think for yourself. You're advertising it. And this is what George Orwell knew perfectly well when he wrote Animal Farm. The four legs good, two legs bad. They tell you who your enemy is and you always chant it in unison, you see. And this is how you do it. You give up your rights to think for yourselves until you're a willing dupe. Because you won't get what you think you're after, whatever that happens to be. Even your temporary solidarity, where you actually seem to be fitting in, maybe for the first time in your life, with something that seems to be bigger than yourselves. That's how it works. It always appeals to young people, always. And those who run the system at the top, that really are big intelligence agencies, believe me, a lot of them too are privately owned, big ones. They know how to manipulate their minds and use you all. But the ones who are in the forefront of all, the ones who are trained anarchists, are revolutionaries, really mercenaries. That's what they are. And they're well-funded and well-paid and well-looked after when everybody else is paying the price for all. That's how things really work. And it's a sad thing to watch, isn't it? As it gets repeated over and over and over again. Same thing from Peter the Hermit to the present time. Same ideas getting used over and over again, always using the young. I gave Peter the Hermit's talks back in the late 90s. How he literally came out this unaffiliated, kind of self-proclaimed preacher or priest and encouraged the young children to go dancing off. To God's holy city, you know? And of course lots of them got rounded up on the way and put into slavery and massacred and used and abused. And but that's what happens, because life was so hellish then for those folk, though, for the peasants and their children, so hellish that it's easy to sell them an idea for utopia, even though it's magical again, you know? And today, of course, you get the lull, a managed lull, as we go through changes, big changes, the century of change, getting back to what the big think tanks all worked upon in the last century, the coming century of change. And Carl Quigley's idea, working for the same group, they can get more done in a social system, a construct system for change, in 5 years of war than 50 years of peace. And they have, haven't they? 9/11 started it all, and suddenly, it's not an enemy that they're cracking, it's everybody at home across the Western world, and you have no rights and freedoms, and all your information is monitored and scoured by intelligence agencies and programs, and you can't just move anywhere, it says papers please, yada yada, who are you, and why are you here, and yada, and all that stuff, you see. and you've watched the very quick erosion of all your rights tracked and traced and all the rest of it. And this is the next part of it for the WEF and the Club of Rome, is this part you're going through today. And they will bring through the... You'll see it. If it was a true revolution, you'll see. Something that was really spontaneous or even well-planned and completely different outside the realms of the present controllers, they would be hammering away at WEF and the Club of Rome and all the rest of them. They're going to manage the aftermath of this. And who are going to manage their whole rationing system after all the chaos and the big financial collapse? No, it's all planned, obviously. But they won't go after those characters, will they? They'll go along with it all too. Once all the main things have been achieved, you see, which is destruction, end of individual liberty. You're going to be into collectivism then, be told what you're going to be, and go and live where you're going to be told to live, and designated to live, if they allow you to live, be alive to live at all. It all depends. And it's a new regimented system. That's what it is. And the people who are helping you to bring it all past, they know they see a utopia, some strange kind of magical thing will come along, and people will just be wonderful to each other. And then it won't happen that way, so they'll suddenly see commissars and their own courts just suddenly appear magically again. And then there'll all be different ones be put up on trial for not being firm enough, you see, and dogmatic enough, and a true comrade believer. They won't have enough of it, and you'll start to see these trials go on as they turn on each other. This is what the ones who cause it all be way above that, you see, but the ones who follow all are then put in trial themselves and put off the gulags, because they it's already understood. If you have turned, here's the key to it. To the system that you're living under at the moment, if you've turned on it to enable another group to take over, right, then you can't be trusted by the other group when you've turned on your own country, regardless of what is done. And they can't trust you either. I hope you understand. This isn't scare stuff. This is a fact. This is how it works. And everyone has known. We've lived through this whole idea of extraordinary rendition, when the group ruling us has all off to war, all the countries are off to war. They fight across the Middle East and Afghanistan, pre-planned, of course, before 9/11 by the group who published it all. again, facts don't matter. It doesn't matter that General McKenzie was out with talking about the list on Democracy Now, and he's up on YouTube. He said, I didn't believe there's a whole list of different countries taken. But that doesn't matter. Facts don't matter, you see. When there's plans, everything's a plan, everything's part of the agenda. Do you really think the big characters that run the world allow things like this to happen? No, they make things like this happen, and they use them, and they'll direct them. That's how it is. Because they want the world to go into a more organized, managed system, which is more efficient to manage the public. This is what they want. And the chaos, or even the death and destruction that causes it doesn't matter. That's success. That's what old David Rockefeller talked about. He was in the CIA. He was in everything. He had the CFR and trilaterals at one point. But he was in the CIA too. He actually lent them money for black projects. They talk about it in their books. The actual guys who worked there in the CIA at the time. And he says, well, he says, all these different things that happen in society, the public are ignorant of what happens, he says, but that's what he's referring to at least. And he says, here's what we want to happen in the world, and he says, there'll be a lot of chaos and fallout from what he says, but he says, you can't make an omelette without breaking eggs. So what you're seeing now is just eggshells, the chaos in the streets and that, and the rioting. But that will be taken care of by those who are managing it and say now it's time to go into the next phase, you see. That's how things really work. Most of it won't listen to, it doesn't matter. And youngsters, as I say, they love to belong to something for the first time. Most of the people really feel alienated at school. They may have one or two people they knock around with, but they still don't really they're not part of her, they're still growing up.